During this year's legislative session, the Florida legislature has passed a number of bills that relate to the state's environment. One of the most comprehensive of these bills is House Bill 999, which, according to a collaborative report by the Miami Herald and the Tampa Bay Times, modifies a series of wetlands-related rules and ratifies the governor and cabinet's approval of 30-year leases of public lands in the Everglades to sugar companies, numerous nonpartisan advocacy organizations, including Audubon Florida and the League of Women Voters of Florida, have made their voices heard about the contents of the House bill throughout its development in the House of Representatives. For more information about the bill and the effects that it might have on Florida's wetlands if it is signed into law, I spoke with Eric Draper, Executive Director of Audubon Florida, who offered the organization's viewpoints on the bill and how it evolved before it was passed.
This is an important piece of legislation, and we worked very hard during the legislative session to take many of the offending sections out of it. Fortunately, we didn't get everything out of that bill that we wanted to, and it ended up passing into law.
Draper went on to explain in more detail what the original bill looked like compared to the one that will soon hit Governor Rick Scott's desk.
Well, the original version of House Bill 999 had a lot of really bad stuff in it. There was a provision that a lot of people were concerned about that had a new definition for mean high water line, which could have ended up having the consequence of privatizing waterways. It had a provision in it that would make it impossible for local governments to pass ordinances regulating the use of lawn fertilizer. And another provision that we at Audubon were really upset about was a provision that would say that local wetlands laws, including in counties like Orange County and Ellsworth County, Nellis County, couldn't be used in certain types of neighborhoods that were, had drainage districts. So those were three of the offending sections of the bill. What still is in the bill, didn't get taken out, is this provision that allows for leases to the sugar companies in the Everglades agriculture.
This provision, Draper said, offers an extension of previous leases on lands that are already being used by these companies.
The land in the Everglades agricultural area is already sugarcane and vegetable farms, and so the leases would be for 30 years, continuing from this year. The decision was made by the governor and cabinet in January. It was a unanimous vote by the governor and cabinet, following a recommendation by the South Florida Water Management District. The background on this is that the state of Florida, in order to proceed with Everglades restoration, desperately needs a piece of land that's controlled by one of the sugar companies, Florida Crystals. Florida Crystals said that they would only organize the trade of the land so that the government needed the land they wanted if, in fact, on the remaining land, Florida Crystals was given a 30-year lease to grow and harvest sugar cane.
House Bill 999, Draper explained, reflects both wins and losses as far as environmental organizations in Florida are concerned.
Audubon and a lot of the organizations that lobbied on this legislation were very pleased that the mean high water line, that the fertilizer issue and the wetlands issue came out of the legislation. So those are no longer parts of House Bill 999. And I think when looking back on it, you have to say, in a year when we didn't have that many victories for the environment, even though this didn't do anything to advance Florida, getting those sections out of the law was a victory.
As to the future of this bill, Draper said that it is very likely to become law.
My guess is that Governor Scott will sign this bill into law. Now, we have an issue with the bill, which is that it doesn't make sense to take so many different changes to environmental laws and put them in one single piece of legislation. And as a result of doing that, this one bill has maybe 20 different changes in it still, and it makes it very difficult for the governor to veto the bill. Now, he may veto the bill. I mean, that's going to be his call. But there's going to be a lot of pressure on him not to veto the bill. There certainly are people that are going to urge him to veto the bill because of the remaining issue of the Everglades leases. But you've got to think that the very powerful sugar industry is also going to be lobbying pretty hard to get that bill signed into law with those leases.
In spite of this, Draper said that Audubon Florida and other environmental organizations will continue to push for change in terms of Everglades and wetlands regulations.
The changes that we're looking at making in future laws are actually to reverse a couple of decisions made in a similar piece of legislation last year. And one of those changes is the ability of third-party or citizen organizations to be able to challenge agency decisions on environmental issues. And then another thing that happened last year is, this is kind of hard to explain, I hope your listeners get this, but there's a part of the law that got changed that basically says that if you're a developer and you develop on 10 acres of land, then you don't have to get a regular environmental permit for that development. So when I say regular environmental permit, I mean for water quality, for wetlands, for all the impacts to the environment that may come from that 10-acre development. Well, you know, 10 acres could be a pretty good-sized piece of development, and we think that was not a well-thought-through change, and that's what we'll be trying to repeal next year.
Overall, Draper said, Audubon Florida and other environmental groups have mixed feelings about this year's legislative session in terms of environmental legislation.
I've been trying to make up my mind about whether to call this legislative session a successor or not. My feeling, because it was such a tough session, we had to work so hard on so many different issues, including appropriations, that my feeling coming out last Friday night when I left the Capitol is, this just doesn't feel like it was a very good session. But then when I sat down and actually counted up the number of bills that we had successes with and the number of bills that we did not have successes with, I realized that mostly we had successes this year, which is pretty amazing. So I have to conclude, based on the facts, that it was not a bad session for the environment.
Draper said that what he considers successes in this year's legislative session are the result of grassroots activism.
The thing that made the most difference for the environment during this legislative session wasn't the lobbyists like me, the environmental lobbyists that were up there talking to the legislators face-to-face. What made a difference is the people back in the communities that were writing letters and making phone calls and getting involved. So I hope that by listening to your newscast and reading papers, that the people really stay engaged, and that we can count on people to communicate with their legislators and tell them that the environment is just as important as the economy.
Those who are interested in getting involved with the legislative side of Florida's environment, Draper added, can do so at any time.
The most important thing for people to do to stay engaged on the environment, particularly during the legislative session, is to be informed. And I certainly encourage them to listen to your newscast. In addition to that, they can go to Audubon's website, audubonflorida.org, and sign up to receive the legislative newsletters we send out during the legislative session. And those newsletters, which come out on Friday afternoon, will tell people exactly what's going on and help them to write letters and make phone calls if they want to do that.
For WSLR, this is Tyler Whitson.